Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We know the teams that already have fired their coaches. We know the teams that are going to fire their coaches, like the Jacksonville Jaguars. There's just no way that Doug Peterson is going to survive. We don't know about the Giants, but the Giants would not be a surprise. But every year a surprise comes. Every year there is a surprise NFL firing. Mike Vrabel was the one last year. And, of course, he didn't get hired in that hiring cycle. We knew that the Belichick thing was coming to an end at that point, but him not getting a job was certainly a shocking one. So the shocking, the potential shocking firing.
Where could it
happen? Where could it be? Now, if I told you Kevin Stefanski got fired, is that a shocker?
It's not a shocker. It's not his fault, but it's not a shocker. And he's a really good coach.
Yeah, there's something about Kyle Shanahan that I keep going back to. Not getting fired, but like being like, you know,
traded
like
getting out of there. I can't see that.
But that would be a shocker.
That would be a shocker. Gerard Mayo be a shocker?
There's been a lot of talk around that, though, now. You know what I'm saying? When I first heard it in the middle of the season, it was shocking. Like, you're not going to give this guy a full year. But now that it's been going on for weeks, it wouldn't surprise me.
Would Raheem Morris be a shocker?
Yes. That would be a shocker. Definitely. Definitely.
I mean, the way that he has mishandled, and especially the game against the Commanders, was bizarre. I don't think Zach Taylor's going anywhere. I mean, I think Joe Burrow's success offensively, you know, those two guys are buttoned up together, even though that they mishandled the end of their regulation game against the Denver Broncos.
Antonio Pierce.
Antonio, that wouldn't be a shocker to me. It wouldn't be, even though his team is playing for him. You know, I will say that. They still are playing hard for him, and he's playing with a compromised quarterback situation.
Is he going to, I mean, he's going to have to go, right? Like, Mark Davis, he's not going to.
I don't know. I think it all depends. I don't know. You know, like, I felt like if they had the number one pick, Shedeur Sanders was definitely going there. That felt to me like that was going to be a match made in heaven, and maybe they will end up trading up to go get him.
Yeah.
But now things have kind of settled down. I haven't heard too much about what's going on, and you know, they obviously need a quarterback. You know, they're going to be in the market for one of these rookies, maybe, or maybe even one of these stopgap situations, or maybe they feel Aiden O'Connell is growing before their eyes, and they think that he can win.
Yeah, I mean, Raheem Morris would be a shocker to me. That's the only one that I mean, for Arthur Blank to turn down Bill Belichick, go with Raheem Morris and fire him after 1 year, where they either go 9-8 or 8-9 would be.
It'd be crazy.
That would be crazy. But I mean, everybody else.
I mean, that team, you know, spent money on Kirk Cousins, a lot of money on him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, when they drafted Michael Penix, I was happy with that. A lot of, I think, Falcon fans, I don't think at the time were very happy. I think they're happy now because they're seeing some of the results and how good this kid looks.
Right.
But I know that Kirk Cousins wasn't very happy about that.
Right. Well, he looked terrible, though, man.
Well, he threw for 500 yards at a game this year.
Okay, but that was an outlier.
The last 4 weeks,
he was really an outlier. He looked really bad.
He looked tired.
Yeah, and old, and like he was decaying in front of us.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, so there's a reason why they had to do it. And where he goes next year will be interesting, but he cannot go to an outdoor team.
Yeah, I can't see him. People keep saying Cleveland, because Cleveland would do what with him, what Pittsburgh has done with Russell Wilson. Cheap, one-year deal, no money, and come in and stabilize the franchise.
I don't know. I would not do it if I were them. He seems like a guy that he gets outside in that cold weather right now, and he can't do it anymore.
So is there a team that is in a dome that would need a quarterback or a warm weather team?
Cowboys, Dax coming back. Detroit, no. Minnesota, no. Atlanta, no. Obviously, because he's there. Saints?
Depending on what they do with Derek Carr.
Rams, no. Cardinals. Is Kyler Murray a legit trade candidate?
He may be. That, you know, Jonathan Gannon may have had it with him.
That would be an interesting one. Him available.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I think he's...
He's exciting, that's for sure.
I don't think he's a bad player at all.
No, he gives you a chance to win.
Yeah.
But the question is, can he be consistent enough over 17 weeks?
Yeah, it's tough. The other thing about Kirk Cousins, too. Remember when we were watching the quarterback documentary?
Yeah.
Some of this other stuff. How many hits this guy was taking?
Yes.
I mean, he was getting killed.
That's why I say the game has changed, but every the physicality week of the game hasn't changed all that much.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's certainly penalties and guys getting hit in the head. It causes penalty. But, like, he was even, like, clean hits and him just getting nailed in the chest and the ribs and just...
Right,
he,
so, well, you know, when we played, we didn't get the do-over downs. The do-over downs are the illegal contact, the defensive holding, and the roughing the quarterback.
Yeah.
We got some of it, but we didn't... We got maybe a quarter of what the players today receive. Like, we're all sitting here at the end of these games, and when a ball is thrown, what are we all waiting for?
Flag.
Right. Because we've become conditioned to illegal contact, defensive holding, DPI.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Every single time.
Those are plays that, you know, we used to throw for 3,000 yards. Now these guys are throwing for 4,500 yards to 5,000 yards.
That's right. Yep. I mean, and all because of the physicality of the New England Patriots back in the early 2000s.
Ty Law and Marvin Harrison in the playoffs.
That's right.
And, you know, I remember we played against Hanford Dixon and Frank Minifield out in Cleveland, two of the best corners of their day. And it was basically hand-to-hand combat with those guys. And Bill Cowher was their defensive back coach.
Yeah.
Grab him. Yeah, grab. Kick him in the nuts. Do what you got to do. That was Marty Schottenheimer was the head coach.
I loved Marty Schottenheimer. I had like a Marty Schottenheimer thing when I was a kid. It's the weirdest thing. All right, you're gonna think I'm absolutely crazy. But
you're telling me you had a thing for Marty Schottenheimer?
I did. All right, so
I've never heard this.
It's the strangest thing. So you know the NFL films put out that Power and the Glory thing where all the songs are that we use under our picks.
Yes.
And it was a CD.
Okay.
And like in between songs, they would have, you know, guys saying stuff, you know, like the LT, go out there like a bunch of crazed dogs, you know, like all those things. So there was a Marty Schottenheimer quote that or a soundbite that was in there. And then I remember him like talking about what he meant by it. Now, I'm a young NFL fan in high school who just wants his team to win a Super Bowl so bad.
And you're impressionable right at this point, yes.
So the quote was, there's a gleam, men. There's a gleam. Go and get that gleam, all right?
Man, so, you remember that?
Yeah. And the gleam was the light off the shiny Lombardi. And he explained that. And to me, I was like, that meant so much to him to get that Super Bowl. And I always rooted for him to get it.
Didn't Joe Sipp want the Rutgers Cup?
Yeah, but he won that like a ton of times.
Yeah, but I'm just
Marty
saying,
did like, not.
Didn't you have a glean off of that?
Well, why can't I have this? Why do you have to argue with me on this? This is my NFL passion, and you have to poo-poo it. I thought you'd love this.
I can't even believe that you have a thing for the great Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah, I do. Because of that, like, the gleam of the Lombardi, and, like, they had their hands up in the air. There's a gleam, men. There's a gleam.
All right.
Let's go get that gleam, all right?
I think that's beautiful.
And then just how much that trophy and that championship meant to him and those players. Because it meant a lot to me at that point. That's like what's what I wanted as a fan. And then I thought that, you know, the passion and listening to interviews with him, and I was like, I really want that guy to win. I really, really want him to. And those Chargers teams that he had back in the day.
Yes.
Man, I used to root for those teams.
So that was, I think he had Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers, right?
Yeah. And they got the one seed 1 year, I think. They were really good.
He came after Bobby Ross out there. Am
yes,
I right?
He did. Yeah, Bobby Ross was the head coach when the Chargers
went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, with Stan Humphries. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
Bobby Ross was my college coach.
I know, head coach Bobby Ross.
Yes, right.
But yeah, I mean, I liked Schottenheimer.
that.
Not as much as I love Denny Green.
Right, I know.
But I did. I had a thing for Schottenheimer.